Hello? Okay, there you go. Okay. I thought I was just going to have to speak loud today, but. I'm so grateful to be speaking this morning. I'm really encouraged that you guys are here. If you're visiting with us, welcome. It's great to have you with us. I just want to say Jesus loves you and God loves you, and that's why you're here. And I'm grateful that you're here and to worship with us. And we're going to look into God's Word this morning. Last week, something really, really tragic happened in Las Vegas. And, this world is deteriorating right before our eyes. Something senseless like that, something where people lost their lives, just going to a concert. There are kids who don't have a mom and a dad today because of that. There are father and mother who no longer have a son or daughter because they're no longer here. But you know, as shocking as it is, we've almost kind of moved on. Almost like it didn't happen. You know, out of sight, out of mind, right? You know, something is happening in our society, in our homes, in the crevices of our hearts. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. What is it that is happening to us as a society, as a family, as individually inside our hearts? We live in a fast-paced, individualistic, and personal satisfaction culture. It does not allow us to sustain deep and rich and meaningful relationship with each other and with God. I want to read a lyrics here, a lyric to a song that written a few years ago that really talks about our society and who we are right now. Listen to this lyrics. People need true love, but chase infatuation. They need a hope, but they live on short supply. People need wisdom, but get more education. People need forgiveness, but they settle things eye for eye. People need identity, but are satisfied with titles. They need true courage, but would rather look sincere. People need a living God, but seem content with idols. People need destiny, but settle for careers. And the soul remains unsettled, and the world a wilderness, in a time when nothing is sacred, and souls settle for less. People need faith, but place their bets on science. They need a refuge, but they stay out in the rain. People need each other, but rely on self-reliance. People need a Christmas, but settle for a holiday. People need dignity, but survive on ego. They need the truth, but will take an alibi. People need a savior, but much prefer a hero. Most long for heavens, but have settled for the skies. It's so true, isn't it? We long for heaven, but we settle for the skies. We need a savior, but we prefer a hero. There's something happening to us. You know, even churchgoers, we get bored easily. I hope you're not bored this morning. Because we cannot go and we cannot stay deep with God. So we live on the surface, pretending everything is all right when nothing is all right. We just want to be entertained so that we don't have to look at ourselves. Because if we do, we will see that we have to change in order to be like Jesus. This morning, I want us to go deep. You know, it says in Revelation, you know, as the church in Laodicea, as they were talking about being lukewarm, he says here, and I think he's saying this to us as well. He says, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not know or realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes so you can wear, so you can cover your nakedness, your shameful nakedness, and salves to put on your eyes so you can see. The question this morning is, do you want to see? Turn our Bible to Matthew chapter 20 here. You're going to have to work a little bit today. Matthew chapter 20. You know, as I was thinking about what I wanted to say this morning, this little incident here kept popping to my mind, and it just wouldn't leave my mind. And God was saying, you know, John, I think you need to talk about this. You know, God wants us to see. He wants us to walk in the light as He is in the light. What will it take for us to live in the light? What will it take for us to see? Something happened on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem in this passage. Look in verse 29. It says, as Jesus and His disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed Him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they had heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed Him. Amazing story. You know, I have two very simple points here. Number one is, we might be blind, but we have to be desperate. You know, I don't know how long these guys have been blind. Maybe they've been blind from birth. Maybe they've had sight before and somehow they lost their sight. I don't know what happened to these guys, but I know they're sitting by the roadside. You know, that's who we are without Jesus. We're sitting on the roadside blind, empty, hopeless, forgotten, no relationship except the next blind guy with me. Our life was meaningless. This is who we was. This is who we are without Jesus. But that day was different. They said they heard that Jesus was coming through. And they sat by the roadside. And as Jesus came through, they said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And it says here that the crowd, you know, began to rebuke them. It says, shh, quiet. Be quiet. Don't bother Him. He's busy. He's going to Jerusalem. You know, I think sometime when we hit a little obstacle or a little opposition, we say, forget it. It's too hard. They're telling me to be quiet. We're blind people. Why should Jesus stop for me? Why should Jesus stop for us? You want help, but you're not willing to go get help. You know you can't stay this way, but you're unwilling to go get help. And it's eating you up alive. It's killing you, but you're unwilling to go get help. Little opposition. You hear people tell you, but you never let it sink in. It's just bouncing off. You know, you're losing control. You're trying so hard to control, but you're losing every time. Like in your finances. Like in your relationship with your spouse. Like your relationship with your kids. The more you try, the harder you try to squeeze it, the more it just kind of all comes out. And you feel frustrated. Obstacle. You know, there are many things that can stop us, can be an obstacle to us. But I want to talk about two things this morning that I feel is a big obstacle for every one of us. And they are dysfunction, our own dysfunction, and our ineffective communication. First thing here, dysfunction. Dysfunction is the gift that keeps on giving, right? Dysfunction, we all have them. If you don't have a dysfunction, you come talk to me and we can talk about that. We all have dysfunction. And a lot of it has just been given to you by your parents, your grandparents, but a lot of it you created yourself along the way. There's dysfunction. But you know, God created the church. He designed the church to strain out our dysfunction. But only if we let it. You see, in ourselves, we are very subjective in what I'm trying to think, what I'm trying to do. We are very subjective. But people in the church, God has allowed us to have the church so that people can be objective, that they can help you with your dysfunction. You know, our dysfunction do not dictate our future, but we have to know where we are starting from because of our dysfunction. You know, we can't ignore where we are starting from. If I have a parent that if I grew up in a household where my mom and dad is very, very strict, then I'm more likely to run the other way where I'm being very permissive because I don't want my kids to grow up like me. Or the other way, where if I grew up in a household where my parents are very, very permissive and we get to do whatever we want, and I see the life that has, the life that's been shattered because of that, I tend to swing the other way where I'm very rigid, where I'm very controlling. And some of us, we were abused physically, mentally, sexually. We were abused, and so we don't have a trust with anybody. That's where you're starting from. But you got to understand that's your dysfunction that you're starting from. We all start at a different point because of our dysfunction. You need people to help you. You need people to walk with you. You need people to tell you, to help you, to show you where you are starting. But the problem is you have to want it. You have to want these one another relationships. You have to go after it. You have to want it. You know, our children are depending on us to get spiritually healthy. Our children, let me say that again, our children are depending on us to get spiritually healthy. Now imagine this. Imagine you're going to go on a trip, right? Imagine you go through the security at the airport, you checked your bag in, you got into your seat, you buckled down, you're ready to fly, and you start going down the runway, and the plane takes off. And you're like, yes, the plane is off the ground. And then the intercom comes over, and you hear this. This is your pilot. Thank you for flying whatever airline this is. We just took off. I'm done. I'm going to go take a nap now. I'll see you when I wake up. Now, a lot of us, we would panic. We were like, oh my gosh, I'm going to the cockpit and wake this guy up. Like, we just took off. But you know the truth is sometimes, we settle for just taking off. We just settle for, we have taken off. I'm done. I just want good kids. I want them to be successful in life. I am done. We just taken off. We don't even know where we're going. We just took off. We don't even have a destination. I think that's how we are with our kids sometimes. We're just happy that we took off. We cannot settle for just taking off. It's not about having good and successful kids. Those things are awesome. But there's a destination that we have. We know we got to get to. And you know, they say the airplane, 99% of the time, is we're off course. Because of the wind, because of the curvature of the earth, they're constantly, you know, fighting this thing, you know, adjusting so that we can land where we're at. You know, you think, well, I'm going to go to L.A. I have no idea how they get there, but we land there and I'm like, woohoo, we're here in LA. But they're constantly adjusting. That's what we got to do. We got to constantly adjust so that we can get to our destination. Do you have a destination? Or are you just happy taking off? It's not about perfection. But do your kids and people around you know and see your pursuit of God? Do they see that? Do they know about that? We need to know our final destination. We need to make course adjustment, or we would just wander aimlessly. The second point here, the second part of this is, you know, is communication. A big obstacle in just, you know, trying to get some sight is communication. We need help in communicating with each other, in communicating with our spouse, in communicating with each other, in our kids. Great communication is not telling people what you are thinking. The measure of a great communicator is not what you are able to tell people, but rather to understand where they are at and what they are thinking. You know, Proverbs 18 here, it says, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their opinions." He calls us fool, but we find no pleasure in understanding, but we want to air our opinion. Verse 13 here, it says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. You know, connect with each other. Connect with your spouse. Connect with your kids through safe communication. You know, our home needs to be a safe place. A place where they're not being judged. Not being accused. Accepting each other. Respecting each other. The truth is, sometimes our Christian home is some of the most unsafe place there is. And I'm thinking, you know, how do we do this? And we've been doing safe people. And I'm glad we are doing safe people. To help us to become safe at home, our home should be a haven. That when our kids, when our spouse come home, it should be a place when we can just relax and connect. We might be blinded by our dysfunction and our ineffective communication, but we must still be desperate. We must get humble. We must cry out to Jesus. We must find those one another relationship. God has put people in your path for a reason. You gotta find those one another relationship. I am not asking you to do the one another relationship. I am not asking you that. I am pleading with you. I am pleading with you that you have the one another relationship. Have people walk with you. Help you. Help you with your dysfunction. Help me with my dysfunction. Number two here. Second point is humility leads to sight. What's interesting here that Jesus asked them, he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's an amazing question, right? What if Jesus asked you? What if Jesus comes to you tonight and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, you see, Jesus, I need a new job. I need more money. I need a new career. I need... You know, material things. Or would you see, like these guys, before they even asked Jesus for their sight, they said to him, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." See, they understood Son of David. You know, the Jewish people knew what Son of David meant. He was the Messiah. He was the chosen one. He was anointed. They knew who he was. These guys knew who he was. Do we know who Jesus is today? You know, when we say, "Have mercy on me," is we're saying, "I'm throwing myself at your mercy. I'm throwing myself to you to trust completely on the compassion of someone. I throw myself to you. Please have mercy on me. You know, I believe that when we became Christian first, we threw ourselves at Jesus and says, Lord, have mercy on me. And we died to ourselves. In Colossians 3 here, it says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. But something happens. You know, the longer we are as Christians, we want our rights back. We want our rights back. And you know how you can tell? Here's some of the things you can tell. Nobody asked me for my opinions. Why was I not included in any of these decisions? No one notices me. Everyone notices me. They're judging me. I'm not being used properly here. No one serves me. My rights are being trampled on. We start grabbing for our rights again. Matthew 5 here says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. When it comes to others, we want justice. When it comes to us, we want mercy. I need mercy. Please have mercy on me. In Ezekiel, God says, I do not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord. Am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? God says, I don't delight in the death of the wicked, but I can't wait for them to change so that they can live. In James chapter 4, we know this very well. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is opposing you when you're proud. God didn't say, I just don't like it when you're proud. He says he's actively opposing you. Now, if people are opposing you, that might be a really difficult time. But God himself is opposing you. He's got his little pinky on you and he just won't let go. And you just sit there and you just wonder, why is my life not going anywhere? Could it be that you're proud? Could it be that God is opposing you because of your pride? You know, some of us, we're studying the Bible. Some of us has been coming to church, but we refuse to study the Bible. We refuse to get into God's Word. Let me find out what this is all about. And you wonder why things are just not happening for you. You're not getting closer to God. You're spinning your wheel. Check your pride level. It could be that God has got his pinky on you and you're spinning your wheel. We want sight. We want direction. We have dreams that God has put on our hearts to accomplish. But we cannot do that without sight. Let me read you this quote from T.E. Lawrence. It says, all men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake in the day to find that it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men, for they may act on their dream with open eyes to make them possible. We are not people who dream at night. We are people who dream in the day. We have to see with our eyes. We have to open up our hearts. We have to let people help us with our dysfunction. We need help. Humility brings sight. Without it, we will stumble in the darkness. We have to follow Jesus to the end with our eyes wide open. As we continue to say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. I pray that as you hear this message, that you will not leave here, that it will not fall on deaf ears. That you will walk out of here challenged and inspired. I want to do something for God. I want my sight. I want God to have mercy on me. Man, I have a lot of dysfunction. I need people in my life. I need to go after those things. It is on you to go after those things. I'm not asking you, I'm pleading with you that you go after the one another relationship. That you love God with all of your heart. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Thank you.